This first time I saw that bumper, that looks pretty cool. Good morning, everyone. Are you comfortable? Are those seats nice? I'm going to ask you to stand. The reason is we're about to read the Word of God. In the Bible, we read in the Old Testament that when, actually, Ezra the high priest had the people stand as they read the Scriptures. And I want to read to you Daniel chapter 7, verses 1 through 14. It's a little bit long, but I want you to listen to this. Written about 500 years before Christ was born, from the prophet Daniel. In the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon, Daniel had a dream, and visions passed through his mind as he was lying in bed. He wrote down the substance of his dreams. And Daniel said, "In my vision at night I looked, and there before me was the four winds of heaven churning up the great sea. Four great beasts, each different from the other, came up out of the sea. The first was like a lion. It had the wings of an eagle. I watched until its wings were torn off, and it was lifted up from the ground so that it stood on 2 feet like a human being. And the mind of a human was given to it. There before me was a second beast, which looked like a bear. It was raised up on one of its sides. It had three ribs in its mouth between its teeth. It was told, 'Get up and eat your fill of flesh.' And after that, I looked, and there before me was another beast, one that looked like a leopard. And on its back, it had four wings like those of a bird. This beast had four heads, and it was given authority to rule. And after that, in my vision at night, I looked, and there before me was a fourth beast, terrifying and frightening, very powerful. It had large iron teeth, and it crushed and devoured its victims and trampled underfoot whatever was left. It was different from all the other beasts, and it had 10 horns. While I was thinking about the horns, there before me was another horn, a little one, which came up among them, and three of the first horns was uprooted before it. This horn had eyes like the eyes of a human being and a mouth that spoke boastfully. And as I looked, thrones were set up in place, and the Ancient of Days took his seat. His clothing was as white as snow. The hair of his head was white like wool. His throne was aflame with fire, and its wheels were all ablaze. A river of fire was flowing, coming out from before him. Thousands upon thousands attended him. 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. And the court was seated, and the books were opened. And then I continued to watch because of the boastful words the horn was speaking. I kept looking until the beast was slain and its body destroyed and thrown in the blazing fire. The other beast had been stripped of their authority but were allowed to live for a period of time." You ready? "In my vision at night, I looked, and there before me was one like the Son of Man, coming with the clouds of heaven. He approached the Ancient of Days and was led into his presence, and he was given authority, glory, and sovereign power. All nations and peoples of every language worshipped him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion that will not pass away, and his kingdom is one that will never be destroyed. Our Father in heaven, we come before you this morning in the name of your Son, Jesus. Father, as we gather here this day, we recognize, God, that in the world that we live in is a very violent and dangerous place. We human beings, God, murder one another and kill one another. Nations rise against nations, and we've been doing this since the beginning of time. Lord, we pray for those that are in mourning in Florida. We lift before you these families that lost their children in high school last week. God, we pray for this fallen world and the broken mankind that we are. We thank you, Lord, that you are with us, that, God, you care about this. We come before you this morning to connect with God and to understand you, Lord. We pray that you would give us understanding and revelation and illumination that we might comprehend what it is that you speak into our lives. We pray, Lord, that you'd help us to look up this morning and find comfort and peace in your presence. God, may we hear your voice today as you speak to us. And we pray this in the mighty name of Jesus and for his kingdom. And all those that love God would say what?
Amen.
Amen. You all may be seated. And again, hey, Happy New Year. If you're from China, Happy New Year. I think it's the year of the dog, right? So, wolf, wolf, right? Happy New Year. Hey, guess what we're going to do? Want to welcome you this morning to a new series we're going to do between now cruising into Easter. We're going to do a new series called Visions of the Future. Right before Thanksgiving last year, we did a series called Rebel with a Cause. Do y'all remember that one? What we did is we opened the book of Daniel and we read the first six chapters of Daniel. Do you remember? The first six chapters of Daniel is the story of Daniel's life, Daniel the prophet. And so what we did in the first six chapters of the Old Testament book of Daniel is we just kind of read through his story. And Daniel's story is an awesome story. 605 BC, God's people blew off God. They pushed away God and his prophets. And they provoked his holiness until God's patience was done. His hand of protection was removed from his people along with his blessings. And the nation of Judah, the city of Jerusalem, and its temple was overrun and conquered by the Babylonians. This is history. Daniel was a little boy when this happened. And Daniel and his friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, were taken as prisoners of war from Jerusalem to Babylon in Iraq. They were Jewish noble sons, and they were taken as tribute in order to keep the royal families in Jerusalem in check. If you mess with us, we'll kill your kids. And also, the king of Babylon was thinking, hey, let's train up these nobles in the ways of Babylonian culture, and someday I might want them to rule for me as a puppet king. This is very common what happened back then. Daniel and his friends were told to leave their God, that their God had been defeated, and to renounce your God and to follow the gods of the Babylonians. And Daniel and his friends refused. They were threatened at times by being burned up with fire or to being eaten by lions, but they stood firm. They would not renounce their God, and God saw this, and God honored Daniel and his friends. And God actually created Daniel to be a prophet, a spokesperson for him in Babylon, 600 years before Jesus was born. So God was happy with them. He blessed their faith and encouraged their faith. That was the first six chapters of Daniel. It covers the story of Daniel's life as a kid growing up, as a captive in Jerusalem, to an anointed, powerful prophet of God that lived probably into his late 80s before he passed away in Babylon. Now, God gave Daniel the supernatural ability to interpret dreams. And actually, Daniel's career as a prophet started when King Nebuchadnezzar had a dream that disturbed him greatly. And King Nebuchadnezzar, the Babylonian king, said, I want the wise people to come and tell me my dream, but I'm not going to even tell you what it was, but I want you to tell me what it was, and if you don't, I'm going to kill all the wise men. And everybody's like, this is crazy, and Daniel says, God's going to tell me your dream. And this is what, do you remember this? This was a part of the series last year. Imagine this, King Nebuchadnezzar had a dream, and he didn't even tell anybody what his dream was, but his dream was there was a statue of gold and the silver and then bronze and then iron, and I was watching this statue, and then a stone came and smashed the statue and destroyed it, and the stone filled the whole earth. This was his dream. Now, if you had that dream, and you didn't tell anybody that was your dream, and someone came to you and said that dream specifically, exactly just as you said, would you be impressed? Yes. Well, that's what Daniel did. Daniel said, God told me your dream. And not only that, he explains the dream. Nebuchadnezzar, it's kingdoms that are coming, and the head of gold is you, Nebuchadnezzar. You're the first king to rule over God's people. But then another kingdom's going to come of silver that's going to rule over God's people. And then a third kingdom, and then a fourth kingdom, and then there's going to be the kingdom that comes that fills the whole earth. This was the beginning of Daniel's profession as a prophet. He interpreted this dream when he was a kid, teens, early 20s. In the later half of Daniel's life, when he was older, God started giving him dreams. Dreams of the future, visions of the future. Hence the title of this series, Visions of the Future. Visions of Daniel's future and ours in this room. Daniel, in the second half of his book, records these dreams of his. These visions. And we're going to be looking at these from now heading into Easter. Now, I just want to say something. As you come each week and you travel with us through Daniel 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, your faith is going to be strengthened. For me as a young Christian, brand new Christian, when I read Daniel, the prophet Daniel, my faith kept getting strengthened. How could this be? As you come week to week, your faith in God is going to grow. That's what the book of Daniel does and will do. Now, I want you to take notes this morning. And if you're in a small group, you're going to be discussing this message in the midweek. And if you're not in a small group, you'd like to be in one. If you'd like to discuss this sermon with a group of people, you let us know afterwards. We have 21 small groups that are meeting throughout the week, and you could meet any day of the week and discuss this. Why don't you take notes with me this morning? You ready? There's two types of predictive prophecy in the scriptures. There's two types of predicted prophecy in the scriptures. Fulfilled and going to be fulfilled. That's it. Prophecy people can be measured in a timeline. God says something, it happens, and it's predicted, it's prophesied, it's fulfilled. And God says something, it happens. God says something, it happens. And God says something, it happens. And God says something, and it's going to happen. It's either fulfilled or it's going to be fulfilled. It's predictive prophecy. So with that in mind, we're going to journey with Daniel into his dream this morning, and this is the dream that he had. It was his nightmare. About 500 and let's say 50 years before Jesus was born, Daniel is sleeping, and he sees this vision. And what it is he says the storm of a sea is being whipped up, and from the sea comes a procession of animals, a lion, a bear, a leopard, and then a beast he can't even describe. Can anyone say nightmare? No, that was funny. We're talking about this. It's funny. It wasn't a puppy or a kitten or a hamster. These were animals of violence, and they came up out of the sea and just began killing. Oppressing. Then in his dream, there's this throne set up and judgment and visions of one called the Son of Man that rules forever. And when you read the chapter in detail, you'll hear that Daniel's like asks an angel, "Can you explain this to me?" And the angel begins explaining what this dream is. Now, did you notice when you read Nebuchadnezzar's first dream and Daniel's first dream, there's so many parallels. They both envision four kingdoms. I think I might have one, another picture, picture three. They both envision four kingdoms, followed by a fifth kingdom established by God that's everlasting. There's a parallel to it. The stone cut without hands in chapter 2 that demolishes the statue of Nebuchadnezzar's dream that fills the earth has its counterpart in Daniel's dream in the glorified Son of Man, who is installed as the Lord over all the earth, the Son of Man. Now listen to this again. In my vision at night, I looked, and there before me was one like the Son of Man, coming with the clouds of heaven. And he approached the Ancient of Days and was led into his presence. And he was given authority and glory and sovereign power. And all the nations and peoples of every language worshipped him. His dominion is how long? Everlasting, right? One that will not pass away. His kingdom is one that will never be destroyed. Some people ask, theologians have said, why did God use a statue for Nebuchadnezzar and then the animals for Daniel? And this was interesting. In a commentary, it says that the images of statue of metals was given to Nebuchadnezzar, showing the outward human splendor and glory of these kingdoms, knowing that that would attract Nebuchadnezzar, gold and silver. But in Daniel's dream, God lets his prophets see these kingdoms from the inside, the character and true nature of these kingdoms, that they're wild beasts, destructive and violent and oppressive, killers of humanity. They're dark. People, there's two types of predictive prophecy in the Bible. There's fulfilled and going to be fulfilled, right? As Daniel sees this prophecy in his days, he understands the first kingdom is Babylon. He knows this. As a matter of fact, this one's found in archaeology. The Babylonian, in America, we have eagles, right? That's a symbol of America. Can anyone want to guess what was the symbol for the Babylonian Empire? It was a lion. They were everywhere. This is one of the lions that they dug up in Babylon, and this is now in the museum in England. There was lions everywhere. Daniel knew. I get it. Lion, I get what my dream is. I can interpret it. Four kingdoms, I get it. It's the four kingdoms. First one's the Babylonians. Daniel even saw that kingdom destroyed by the Medo-Persian Empire in 564. Daniel was in the city when it was conquered. Daniel was in a city of Jerusalem when it was conquered. He was in Babylon when it was conquered by the Medo-Persian Empire. He was there. He saw the coming of the bear, and he witnessed how they conquered three kingdoms, the Babylonians, the Laodiceans in Asia Minor, and the Egyptians. So the Persian Empire swept in. He saw this part of his prophecy being fulfilled in his lifetime, but he didn't see the other two kingdoms, and he didn't see the Son of Man, and Daniel dies. And 550-some years later, there was this carpenter from Nazareth who leaves his father's carpentry business and goes to the Jordan River. He's baptized by John the prophet. He goes into the wilderness. He comes back. He goes down to the Sea of Galilee, and Jesus begins performing miracles and healings. Jesus begins walking on the water and raising the dead and healing the lame and the sick. Jesus had a favorite name or a title of himself. Do you know what it is? The Son of Man. Take notes this morning. Jesus refers to himself as the Son of Man over 85 times in the Gospels. Coming down from his Sermon on the Mount, he said, someone came up to him and said, Jesus, I want to follow you forever. And Jesus says, foxes have dens and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Jesus, in Matthew 9, says, Jesus stepped out of the boat, crossed over, and came into his own town, which is Capernaum. Some men brought to him a paralyzed man lying on a mat. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the man, take heart, my son, your sins are forgiven you. At this, some of the scribes, or the teachers of the law, said to themselves, this guy's blaspheming. Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, why do you entertain evil thoughts in your hearts? Which is easier, to say your sins are forgiven or to say that God, or get up and walk? But I want you to know that the Son of Man, pointing to himself, has authority on earth to forgive sins, and he heals that man. Jesus' favorite title of himself is the Son of Man. He begins doing miracles as the Son of Man. Now, I want you to think with me. If you're Peter, James, and John watching Jesus do this, and Jesus says, the Son of Man, can't you see them look at each other, go, I've heard that phrase before. Where have I heard that? It's in the Bible. Where in the Bible? We got to go find a Bible, right? Can't you see them scrambling to find the prophet Daniel and whipping open the scroll of Daniel and finding Daniel 7 and reading what we are reading this morning? And they look at this. What do you think's going through their mind? Hey, what does Daniel 7 say about the Son of Man? Write this down. These are your notes. You ready? Who is the Son of Man? He appears before God in the form of a human being. Not a bear, or he's a human being. Before the throne of the Ancient of Days, the Son of Man, he's a form of a human being. Right in my vision at light, and look before me, there was a Son of Man coming with the clouds of heaven. He approached the Ancient of Days and was led into his presence. Write this down. He's of heavenly origins. Though he looks like a human, people, he comes with the clouds of heaven. He's clearly no mere human being in essence. He's more. He's unique. He's special. He's of heavenly origins. Can anyone remember Christmas? What did we just, right? This baby born in Bethlehem. He's of heavenly origins. This is the Son of Man, right? Write this down. The Son of Man, okay, he's looks like a man, but he's more than a man. He's of heavenly origins. And what do we know about the Son of Man? He's given authority. He's given what? Glory. He's given sovereign power, even to forgive sins, says Jesus. He's given sovereign power over all people for how long? Forever. Take this as note. He is the Messiah. He's the Messiah. When you open the Bible, you read, even in Genesis, in the very beginning with Abraham, that there's this promised one coming. Abraham, I will surely bless you and make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky. And as the sand on the seashores, your descendants will take possession of the cities of their enemies. And through your offspring, all nations on earth will be blessed because you've obeyed me. From the seed of Abraham, from the seed of the Jewish people, a promised one is promised to come into the world and bless all nations of the world. This one is called the Messiah, or the anointed one, or the promised one. The Son of Man is the Messiah. Years after Daniel writes this, Jesus comes on the earth and does incredible miracles and healings. And he calls himself the Messiah. He calls himself the Son of Man. Now, I want you to think about this. If you were Peter, James, and John, listening to Jesus and seeing what Jesus was doing, what would be going on in your mind? Kingdom. Kingdom. They'd be going, wow, okay, Daniel had two nations, but since the Babylonians, the Medo-Persian Empire, then there was the Greeks, and now the Romans, you could see him going, we're living in the Roman Empire, and they are a beast, by the way. They conquered and murdered and killed more people than those other three empires combined. The Roman Empire was a beast, FYI. They ruled for over 1,000 years. They subjected and put more human beings in slavery, the Roman Empire. Can you imagine Jesus' disciples are like, we now see the four kingdoms, we see the four beasts, and the Son of Man is here, and they're going, kingdom, right? And they're thinking, Jesus, let's kill the Romans. And they're thinking, we're going to rule and reign with Jesus. And they're fighting over who gets to sit on Jesus' right and Jesus' left in his kingdom. And all the time, Jesus is trying to explain something to them. You see, there's a twist. There's a twist. If you read two chapters up from Daniel 7 to Daniel 9, you read that the Messiah will be cut off. That the Messiah will die. That God deals with human beings' sin and atonement. But it's two chapters ahead, and the disciples don't read it. And so Jesus tries to explain this to them. In Mark 8, Jesus and his disciples went on to the village around Caesarea Philippi, and on the way he asked them, who do the people say that I am? They replied, some say John the Baptist, others Elijah, and still others one of the prophets. But what about you, he asked, who do you say I am? And Peter answered, you're the Messiah. Jesus warned them not to tell anyone about him. Let's keep them guessing. And then he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law, that he must be killed, and after 3 days arise again. He spoke plainly about this, and Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. Jesus, this is not what's supposed to happen to the Son of Man. Read Daniel chapter 7. Right? Jesus, what are you saying? The Bible says, Daniel 7, this is not supposed to what's happened to you. And Jesus says, read two chapters up. And we're going to be there in 2 weeks. We're going to walk through Daniel 9 together. He could see Peter going, Jesus, read your Bible. This is not what's supposed to happen. And Jesus says, Peter, read your Bible. This is what's supposed to happen. Mark 9 says, they left that place and passed through Galilee. Jesus did not want anyone to know where they were because he was teaching his disciples, and he said to them, the Son of Man is going to be delivered up to the hands of men, and they will kill him, and after 3 days he will rise. But they did not understand what he meant, and they were afraid to ask about it because they didn't want to know. They didn't want to understand because it makes no sense. Think with me, people. How does the Son of Man rule forever and have his kingdom forever, and yet the Son of Man die? How does that work? Can anyone please explain this to me? It makes no sense. It's double talk. And they didn't want it. Jesus, I don't get you. There's a twist. What's the answer? Can you all do this? Do this. What's the answer?
Two.
Two what? Comings. Two comings of the Son of Man. Two is the answer. Two. Listen to this. Jesus is being, he's arrested on Good Friday early in the morning. He's taken to the high priest, and they beat the stink out of him. And they're trying to get him to confess. And Jesus says nothing. And the high priest, the religious guy of the day, finally looks Jesus in the eye. And he says this. In Mark 14, 61 through 64, where Jesus remained silent and gave no answer. Again, the high priest asked him, are you the Messiah, the Son of the Blessed One? Daniel 7. And what does Jesus finally say? I am. And you will see, future, you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the Mighty One and coming on the clouds of heaven, future. The high priest tore his clothes. Why do we need any more witnesses, he asked. You have heard the blasphemy. What do you think? And they all condemned him as worthy of death. And they killed him. They hung him on a cross. And in doing so, the Son of Man took away the sins of the world. Your sins and my sins, just as God said he would. People, the Son of Man, the Messiah, came. And he's coming again on the clouds of heaven. Are you ready? Would that be all right with you? When he comes, it's business. It's serious business. The kingdoms of this earth will be dealt with. Judgment will come on this earth. And he will usher in peace to all humanity, the Son of Man. Are you ready? People, there's two types of predictive prophecy in the Bible. Fulfilled and going to be fulfilled. Right? What does God want to communicate to you and me this morning in the seventh chapter of Daniel? I've been praying about this all week. Jesus, what do you want to say to your people this morning? As we read the seventh chapter of Daniel, what would God want to tell us this morning? And I believe God wants to say this to you and I this morning. Are you ready? The God of the Bible is amazing. Write that down. The God of the Bible is amazing. He tells you what's going to happen before it comes to pass so that you will know that he's God. The God of the Bible is amazing. He'll tell you what kingdoms are going to come before they come. He'll tell you about one coming like the Son of Man before the Son of Man even comes. Prophecy proves God. Now listen to God in Isaiah 41. God says this, "Present your case, says the Lord. Set forth your arguments, says Jacob's king. Tell us, you idols or other gods, what's going to happen. Tell us what the former things were, so that we may consider them and know the final outcome, or declare us the things to come. Tell us what the future holds, so that we may know that you're gods. Do something, whether good or bad, so that we may be dismayed and filled with fear. But you're less than nothing, and your works are utterly worthless. Whoever chooses you is detestable." What is God saying? There's other people worship different gods. And people, just this week, my wife and I, we have a pray for our neighbors. They're from India. They're Hindu. Long discussions with them over what they believe about God. And we're all, you know, reincarnation and karma. And they believe, they're very smart people and they believe this. And this is what they believe. And I want to ask, well, how do you know what you believe is true? Now, let me tell you what I believe. Now, you believe different than me. How do we know which one's true? I'll prove to you that my God is real. My God says this and it happens. And my God says this and it happens. And my God says this and it happens. My God says before the Babylonians even existed that they were coming, that the Medo-Persian Empire before they were coming. Daniel 8 next week will blow your mind. And historians hate the chapter. Liberal theologians hate what you're about to see next week. They cannot get around it. My God predicts the future. Has anyone read the teachings of Buddha? I have. Does Buddha ever say anything? And 200, 300, 400, 500 years later, it's fulfilled? Anything? Once? Nothing. And people follow him, his teachings by the millions. I've read the Quran. This is mine. I've read it cover to cover. I've read the Quran and the God of Islam. He's different than the God of the Bible. Jesus is spoken of 91 times in the Quran. Says he didn't die on a cross. And all of you are still in your sins. And y'all better do the five pillars of Islam, so maybe God will accept your good deeds over your bad deeds and let you live with him in heaven after you die. Jesus, he's a prophet, good man, didn't die on a cross, and you're still in your sin. And you need to work off your sins. And the best way for you to work off your sins is to fight for Allah. And if you die for him in a holy war, he'll let you in heaven. And that's why people put bombs on themselves and blow themselves up, thinking that they're going to go be with God because they've done the ultimate good work of God. That's the Jesus of the Quran, the Jesus of the Bible, the Son of Man, according to Daniel 9 and Isaiah 53 and so many. The Jesus of the Bible loves you so much that he took all your sins upon himself. For God so loves the world that he gave us his only begotten Son, that whoever would believeth upon him shall not perish and have everlasting life. Different Jesuses. Which one's true? Present your case, says the Lord. Set forth your argument, says Jacob King. Tell us, you idols, or you other gods, what's going to happen? Tell us what the former things were so that we may consider them and know their final outcome. Or declare to us the things that come, that is to come. Tell us what the future hold. See, God's bragging. Do you think it's okay for God to brag? God says, I will tell you what will happen before it happens. And when you see it happen, you'll know that I'm God. There's two types of predictive prophecy in the Bible. What are they? Fulfilled. And they're going to be. And God says, when I tell you it and it happens, you need to know that I'm God. God wants you to know this morning that he's amazing and he's real. He's totally real. We are not in this room creating something, creating a crutch because life is hard. We don't create God, we discover God. We don't create God in our image, we discover him and we are made in his image. Do I hear an amen? Amen. Right? What does God want to tell you and I this morning in the seventh chapter of Daniel? I think he wants you to know that he's amazing and he's real. And you know what God wants you to know? He's coming again. He's coming again. Are you ready? Daniel 7 is a loaded passage. Visions of the future, of Daniel's future. And it just ripped right into Daniel's life, past Daniel's life, right into the disciples' life. It blew right past the disciples' life, and it's blowing right into our life. Daniel 7 even will blow past your life if Jesus doesn't come in your lifetime, but he will. He's coming again on the clouds of heaven. It's interesting, from that turbulent sea of fallen humanity, empires come out. And these empires in the turbulent sea of fallen humanity come and rule over one another, and they murder and kill one another. You know what? We human beings cannot govern ourselves. Have you ever heard? That's true. That's true. Look at dictators. People, do you think North Korea is doing a very good job at governing themselves? Do you think the United States of America is doing a very good job governing itself? The only good thing that we have in this country is the people that created this country knew that human beings couldn't govern themselves, and they set up three branches of government so there'd be checks and balances, so no one dictator can rule the whole show. We humans can't govern ourselves well. This is what human history teaches us. Do I hear an amen? God knows this, and from the sea of humanity comes one empire, another empire, another empire, and another empire, and they all rule over God's people. And they all crush and murder and kill. But there's someone that's going to come that's no, it's not a beast. He's man. He's perfect man. And he's coming to restore the rule of humanity back to the sovereign God. And he's called the Son of Man. And when he comes, it's on the clouds of heaven. Jesus says he's coming, and he's him. Are you ready for that? Are you going to be in Jesus' kingdom? Have you been prepared for his kingdom? He's totally true. The Lord knows you, and the Lord loves you. The Lord sees you this morning. He holds you close to his heart. The heart of God is for you. Your whole life is laid out before him, the good and the bad. And he accepts you anyway. God wants you to be with him forever. But the problem is that he's holy and you're not. For God to be in your presence would defile his holiness. And so what God does is he washes you clean in the blood of his Son and takes away all your shame and guilt and sin before a holy God. Jesus, who knew no sin, became sin on your behalf that you would become the righteousness of Christ. All your stuff, all your sin was poured upon him on the cross, and he paid for every evil thing you have done and will do. He took your punishment. And in return, he gives you his righteousness. You are forgiven from the cross. Only these people are people that are ready for Christ's kingdom. Have you said yes to Jesus? Have you accepted his gift from the cross? Because if you have, then you're ready. And if you haven't, you're not. It's hard to talk to a person like a Muslim or a Hindu and think, I just got to do more good works so God will accept me. You can never do enough work. Nothing will pay for your sin. It's not your work that gets you to heaven. It's God's work on the cross that gets you to heaven. Jesus did all the work because you can't do it yourself. You do not work your way up to God. God worked his way down to you in the person of Christ, the Son of Man. And he comes to save you. For you to tell Jesus, I don't need your blood, I don't need your cross, I'll do it myself, is foolishness. Do I hear an amen? It's real simple. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, and whoever believes, whoever accepts and says yes to Jesus is prepared for him. I pray that you in this room would understand your need for the Son of Man and that you would just worship him this morning. That you would draw near to him this morning. That you would receive his love, his acceptance, his forgiveness. If you listen closely, Jesus will speak to you this morning. He's real. He's here, and he loves you. What are you going to do with that? Close your eyes and bow your heads and just think about that. As the worship team comes up, I want you to think on this. Lord God Almighty, what does Daniel 7 have to say for us in this room? Jesus, as we've left our homes and we've come to this house, we come, Lord, to seek and understand you, Jesus. What would you say to us this morning? How do you speak into our lives? I pray, Lord God, that you would speak unto your people. It says in heaven that the angels are worshiping you. May you help us to worship you this morning. For us, Lord, we need to read this and just say, praise God. There is no other name but Christ.